Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. My name is Larry Chappell, and I'm here with my dad, Pastor Paul Chappell, and we're excited to have another great conversation today, Dad. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk about refocusing and the renewal of a church after a challenge.
And I'm excited about it. None of us like challenges, but normally there's lessons to be learned in a valley that God uses to mature and develop a church after that time.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of the specific challenges that we're, give a little context for where we are as a ministry here in Lancaster.
Well, obviously we're experiencing what everyone else is experiencing with COVID, and maybe even the last month a little bit more than some other parts of the country. And we've had other times in the past where we've had either a slowdown of just momentum, or we've had a slowdown related to weather, or various different things, but never something quite like this, where a fourth of the church is in fear and another 20% just has kind of gotten out of the habit. And so you see the trends and the numbers, and you realize we have a responsibility to lead people out of this bogged down situation back into spiritual mobility and growth.
It seems like over the past year, there were a number of in-the-moment adjustments, kind of just going along with the flow, trying to do the best with what we can. It seems like the last few months, you have led our staff in a very intentional way to kind of refocus and re-energize our thinking towards future calendar events and getting things back on track. And that's a little bit what we're going to talk about today.
And that's really a good observation, because for the first 6 or so months of this pandemic, it really has been daily making decisions, you know, and I told the church, you know, be ready, watch the announcements coming in email, because sometimes midweek we might have decided, hey, we're gonna just have one service, or we're gonna go back to all online, or there's no small groups. And, you know, just trying to figure this pandemic out. And now, you're exactly right, I'm trying to focus my life, the staff and the church, on getting back to some more predictability and faithfulness. And a lot of what we're talking about is by faith, because again, the pandemic is somewhat unknown. However, with some of the vaccinations and some of the facts that people, so many people have already had the virus, I think it's wise for pastors now to start planning on a normalcy.
And I feel like before we jump into it, I feel like this lesson has a lot of applications. The shelf life, hopefully, Lord willing, a year from now, we won't be talking about COVID in the same way that we are right now, but I think this lesson is still going to be applicable. Can you help us to understand how so?
Well, I think there's Bible principles that are timeless, and we see in the scripture, whether it would be in the Old Testament when there were times of invasion upon the children of Israel and desecration of the temple and then rebuilding of the temple. One of my favorite stories is obviously Nehemiah. And then we see the persecution of the early church. So the church is a resilient bride of Christ. And while the church has many challenges today with theological trends and apathy and lukewarmness, still God has his purpose for every local church. And so my hope is that we can take what we've learned and we can be better in the future as a church.
So let's talk specifically on how you've led here in our ministry context with our staff and with our the lay members of Lancaster Baptist. How have you focused their attention spiritually?
Well, there's five principles that the Lord really was working in my heart late fall and through December that I've been really emphasizing here at Lancaster. The first one has been prayer. You know, one of the things that I've really focused on this year, besides the sovereignty of God and that we're not in control, which is obvious, but has been that if the church is going to move forward, it's only going to be by God's power. And it's convicting how oftentimes we get into a mode of just kind of program dependency. And so with respect to prayer, there are several things that I've been encouraging. Asking our church leaders to take their teams and spend time in prayer at the beginning of a day, at the beginning of a week, getting more prayer around the campus itself. Then secondly, we have a ministry at the church called the Prayer Partners Ministry. And I made a major change to that ministry this year. I've been meeting with a couple in the church, and sometimes staff can take something like pastor's prayer, and it's not their thing. It's not the youth ministry or the choir. And so it's attended to when I emphasize it. But I've asked a couple in our church to help me organize. We have about 150 pastor's prayer partners. We're looking to build that up to 300 this year. We have our first meeting this Saturday, and they're going to watch my social media. They're going to receive email from me with specific prayer requests related to revival, building programs, COVID, whatever it is. And they're really, these people are truly prayer warriors. And I'm excited to really mobilize them in what we call pastor's prayer partners. We're going to meet once a month, but then we're communicating 2-3 times a week with respect to prayer. And then we all always have had our Saturday morning prayer, but we're going to add some things to that with respect to the men. We're going to do some breakfast, and we're going to have some special speakers and just emphasizing prayer for the men. And then once a month, we're going to be having a Saturday night prayer for the whole church at 5 o'clock. And I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be doing that this Saturday prior to our Week of Awakening. We're also emphasizing some ladies' prayer times, and Mom is going to be taking the ladies on campus walks, and especially starting just a little bit later in the spring. So prayer is where it really has to begin. We have not because we ask not. And cultivating prayer and fasting in January is very important.
Yeah, and if this could be even just one of the major takeaways from COVID, has been a church that is stronger in the aspect in the area of prayer, I think that would be.
It is. I think it was Martin Luther. You know, not to quote a non-Baptist here, so don't give me any mail on that. But he got a few things right for sure. And one of those, he said, "I have so much to do today. I'm going to spend my first 4 hours in prayer." And our thinking so the opposite of that. You know, I was thinking this morning even when I was having my devotions of how many years I spent in the ministry, jumping out of bed, you know, getting ready, grabbing some cereal. I prayed with you guys and we sang and had, you know, some family devotions, but it was hurried. And I really think we need to spend time with God because the only way the church is going forward in the new climate that I see in America is going to be by His moving the rocks out of the way, and only He can bring COVID, for example, to an end. And so we need to seek His face.
Absolutely. I think here in California, especially where the restrictions, you know, right now as we're recording, there's a lot of restrictions on things that you can't do. It's easy to focus on the things that you can't do ministry-wise.
Right.
But we can pray.
That's right.
And there's power in that. So
it's going to be a great year for prayer. And you're absolutely right. I mean, our evangelism has been somewhat limited. We've still gone out every week, dropping off gifts at doors and hangers on doors, but our ability to really talk to people has been limited. But you know, God speaks to hearts and can move on hearts. And so that's where prayer is so important.
What else have you?
Well, the second thing that I'm working on with our church and with the staff has been just the whole concept of praise in the services. God inhabits the praise of His people. So that praise will affect singing. It will affect my spirit in preaching. I've tried in the first several weeks this month and this year to just really have not the power of positive thinking, but messages that are uplifting. And as I've been preaching on our theme, declare the gospel, and as I've tried to preach on how we overcome through these times, just to really have an uplifting service, both with the tempo of the music, with the tempo of the message, with our greeters outside. There's so much negativity, and honestly, people are going to take so much just from the spirit of the pastor and the staff. And, you know, for so many months, our spirit has been kind of be careful and, you know, put a mask on, all this stuff. And it's important. But you've heard me say many times the last few weeks, be careful, but don't be fearful. Mm-hmm. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so we want to praise Him in such a way that He is magnified and God's people are really encouraged. And then One other factor to the praise is going to be this spring, as we approach our 35th anniversary here at Lancaster Baptist this June, we're going to be having testimonies from our members, just praising God for saving them. You know, it just so helps to remember what God has done. And we're going to have a couple dozen testimonies like that to just really lift up and say, look at what God did, because that's going to inspire us to see him do it again.
I love that. And I love worship. I mean, it literally means to rejoice in. Mm-hmm. And so we do that through singing and through preaching. And we're never directed to worship only when circumstances are going our way.
Right.
And so what an awesome opportunity that we have. And you've always said the darker the night, the brighter the light.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter what's going on. We can come and gather together as a church family and worship together.
Yeah, and I think sometimes a church needs to stop and look at their order of service. They need to look at, you know, is the person leading the singing excited about what's going on? Do you need to have some usher training? Do you need to meet with your, you know, your greeters or your first impressions team, whatever you call them? You know, I don't want just somebody holding a sign out front. Man, I want them smiling. I don't want guys just directing traffic. I want them happy to be at church. And I want people to see that in me. And that comes ultimately from the Holy Spirit, but it's so important.
Dad, I know that growing up with you, you take a lot of notes. Wherever you go, you're always taking notes, you're seeing things. And I know you do that on Sundays as well. How do you balance the seeing things that need to be fixed or corrected, or the sign holders need to be, because I know you see those things.
Yeah.
How do you balance seeing those things, but also participating in joyful worship?
Well, balance is such an important part of it. And again, I can think back to seasons, and you guys have seen some of that, where I was too obsessive about the details to the point of losing the joy, perhaps, of certain events. But the Lord's given me over the last many years, I think, the ability to still be a man of detail, you know, and to see the detail, write it down, but not to let that take away my focus on, hey, people need a pastor that's fully engaged, that God's in control. And, you know, sometimes you'll see three or four things on the way into church that you wish you didn't see. But I think that's a strength and weakness sometimes. And yet, if you can write it down and delegate it at the proper time and in the proper spirit, it's definitely a strength. And sometimes the devil throws stuff at us as pastors. You know, that's why we always say, hey, don't bring a big counseling need to the pastor right before the sermon or something. But there are times when you have the weight of the world. I mean, we've had people that have gone to heaven with COVID in recent days. We've had a challenging year in some areas, you know, financially. We've had different challenges. And sometimes you get that bad news right before you go to the pulpit. But God inhabits the praise of his people. And I intend to encourage our people to pray and to praise God in the new year. And so far, we're not seeing record attendance yet. But I think there's something very exciting and attractional about a people that are wholly focused on God.
Yeah, you talk a little bit about attendance, and you talk about challenging our church family. And that's one of the things I've also seen in the last year, is coming together, keeping the pulpit hot, the music, you know, energetic, but then also I've seen in you a heart to get connected with everyone as possible. Will you talk us through that?
Well, that's the third point here today, is to pursue our people. So first we're pursuing God. And we're doing that through prayer and praise. And then thirdly, I'm really emphasizing with the connection group leaders, with the pastoral staff, we've got to get out and pursue. Now, again, challenges with COVID, but there's ways to accomplish this. So we're pursuing our active members. So all of those that have been fairly faithful through this season, we're encouraging them with encouraging emails. We have literally three times during COVID gone to every member's home with a small gift of some kind, whether a magnet or, you know, little gift that says, hey, we thank God for you. So we've been pursuing the membership, staying engaged with the membership. But then beyond that, you have the inactive members that have slipped by the wayside. Now, they're in two categories. There's those with underlying conditions that we don't even want to see yet, but we love them and we want them to know that. And then there are those that are not with underlying conditions, and they got into the habit of some online. Now they're even out of the habit of online. They're just out there. We're hoping to get them back. So when we had our vision night service the other night, We, you know, kind of took a mental attendance of, you know, who all was there, who did we miss? And we missed about 500 families from the year before, which is kind of an amazing thought, you know. And we had a great service and relatively good crowd for the moment. But last week, we went to the homes of 500 semi-inactive members who weren't there. We gave them a calendar, a Bible reading schedule, a ministry magazine with all the goals and all the upcoming events and the church purpose, the church ministry path. My heart is to bring everybody along to the next step. Now, John Maxwell, I think, used to always say, you can't take everybody to the next level. And there's some truth to that, sadly. However, a good pastor wants everybody to go to the next level. And I cast a lot of vision. We cast a multi-million dollar vision for our new children's building. And so we want to pursue people to say, hey, we know you're not able to be here right now, but don't lose sight of the fact that we're a church going forward.
Right. I mean, as a shepherd, you see this, whether the reason is legitimate or not, if someone's fallen outside of the spiritual practices of gathering together and assembly, those muscles atrophy. And I know that's been a concern of yours, just to keep engaged and connected.
Yeah. And that the Bible says to know the state of the flock. And so we right now have a management worksheets of our membership in several categories. We have those that are faithfully attending. We have those that are out, but they're being accountable because of health.
Right.
We have those that are out and they're semi-accountable, but they've come once in a while. Then we have those that we haven't seen since the beginning of the pandemic. And so we're reaching out to them in different ways with emails and phone calls. And I look forward to the day when there's some kind of the coast is clear signal and we can legitimately tell everyone to come back in. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to still be a while, but until then, we're going to keep pursuing. We're going to stay in contact. And I've had several members say, you know what? I love my connection group that's online on Wednesday. And thanks for those emails that have come and those visits. Sunday night, I had a lady come up to me and she's a relatively new Christian. It was her first service back in 8 months. Mm-hmm. And she just had tears in her eyes. She said, Pastor, I've watched every service online, but there's something about being here in this place. And she actually testified that her husband, who was saved like just weeks before the pandemic, had started tithing during the pandemic online. So God's obviously working, even though we don't always see it. But you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's something about the body life that people are missing and people desperately need.
So. What's the next area that you've challenged our church family?
So we want to first pray and praise. Those are God-focused directives. And then we pursue and love the membership. And then fourthly, and this is our big theme now this year, we want to proclaim the gospel. I think a lot of churches have lost their evangelistic thrust through COVID. I mean, events that were evangelistically orientated were canceled, even in our church. If they still have any weekly outreach, it's limited, it's awkward. So we are getting back to proclaiming the gospel. And I set a goal with our church of 400,000 homes being reached personally with the gospel this year. That's a big, big goal. That's our entire area three times, maybe spilling over into some other areas. And right now that's just with a little gift and a drop off at the home. But we want to talk to people just as soon as we can. And so we are going to proclaim the gospel personally. But I've also been challenging our folks, you know, not just with the Thursday or Saturday outreach programs, but just in their daily lives. And so I made a commitment card after my first service this Sunday. This month, and asked everyone in the first 8 weeks to take someone else through the entire gospel plan. And many people are taking that challenge. And I think they're looking at their workplace as more of a mission field, and people do need to be challenged. So proclaiming the gospel through the church outreach programs, but also in their normal everyday work. And then we're just looking to get back to some things that we've done before. For example, community newsletter before Easter that is gospel orientated. Some billboards around town that share something about the church, something about the Lord. And we've had some great opportunities this week with even with the pandemic, and you know the story, and some of our friends may know, but we were able to reach out to the Samaritan's Purse organization and to Franklin Graham, and they were able to bring a field hospital to Lancaster. And it's a long and it's an amazing story that happened quickly. But what that has done, it has opened up doors for us with our medical professionals who are so grateful that we got involved and took a hospital that was so overwhelmed and put a hospital right next to it. And so I've been able to personally witness to several medical professionals, community members, and I really believe in the months to come, because we've been faithfully delivering meals to the hospitals. We've been delivering meals to the homes of senior citizens in the Valley. For the churches that are still engaging during this time, God's gonna bring a harvest in these upcoming months. And so we just wanna keep proclaiming the gospel.
That's awesome. But the last thing that you're challenging our staff to do.
So whenever there is pursuing and proclaiming, there needs to be process. Because when you're pursuing members, you find out about needs. You find out about sickness. You find out about spiritual decline. And you have to process a follow-up and a strategy. And also, when you're proclaiming the gospel, people get saved or they're interested. That, all of that energy needs to be processed. Our job as pastors is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so as they're getting involved, when there's a generation of interest, what do we do with that? So this really comes to the staff, this aspect of processing, and it kind of flows this way. We want to assimilate the guests into those worship services. That requires preparation of, you know, all Sunday ministries. But then once we receive contact information from those folks through our guest services tables, we have a very strategic plan, as you know, to take those guests and to assign those to staff and church family for the purpose of follow-up. Now, we haven't had as much of that during COVID, but by faith, because of the proclamation of the gospel, I'm anticipating, and even Sunday, I think God started to bless the faith. We saw several families visit, which I hadn't seen as many in many months. I think actually God is honoring the faith that we're proclaiming his gospel. And so what we want to do is go out and make sure that they know Christ. And when I say go out, sometimes it's at a doorstep because of COVID, sometimes it's after church, socially distanced, but engaging these people and then helping them to become a part of a connection group, which for us is our small groups within the larger church family, where friendships are formed, where Bible is taught, and people begin to stick. And we want to be that sticky church where people come in and they fasten. And that's part of the process. And then beyond getting them into that connection group, from there we're ascertaining where they are spiritually. And most folks we encourage to take continued discipleship. There's about 600 churches across the country who use our continue discipleship. It's available at strivingtogether.com. Fantastic 15 lessons. And we're excited to see, and one of our goals is to see over 100 families come through that this year again. And I'm excited about the fact that some of these families, even from last week, are already interested. So process is important. If you're going out, visiting folks, proclaiming, but when they get there, there's not an intentionality behind what's happening, many times they'll slip back out. And so I really think that's where the staff has to step in and provide the process that sustains God-given momentum. If we don't steward the momentum that God brings, I don't think he'll bring more. And so process really is important.
Yeah. Well, these have been awesome. You know, we've talked a little bit today about kind of looking ahead. And I know one of the things that we are looking ahead to is the Spiritual Leadership Conference. And we actually had a meeting today that we just stepped out of. Mm-hmm. Well, we take a minute and just talk through that. We've moved it to a different time on the calendar. Right. Talk what it is, your heart behind that.
Well, the Spiritual Leadership Conference has been going now for 30 years, and we started at our fifth anniversary, and of course, smaller in context, but still since those years it has developed. And we really have tried to have an approach that the conference, first of all, is spiritual in that we pray and seek God's face and seek to biblically teach and preach, as opposed to some of the conferences when I was a younger preacher that felt very carnal and divisive and polarizing. And we've tried to have as much of a unifying factor as we can in the conference. And I think God's blessed that. I think we have people from, you know, lots of different corners of the country and alma maters and fellowships that come. We want to be a servant in three areas. First, we want to develop the idea of servant leadership and teach that. And then we want to develop and teach the concepts of spiritual leadership, the spirit-filled life, and then soul-winning leadership. Those are kind of the three emphases: servant leadership, spiritual leadership, soul-winning leadership. And this year's conference is going to be very, very special. We have our 35th year. We have some amazing preachers coming. You've kind of helped me, Larry, to kind of whittle down the number of sessions. And so that is allowing us to have some times where all the speakers are going to be out in some common areas, really just having coffee and available for like 90 minutes at a time for Q&A and fellowship. I think those were some great ideas. We're having more panel discussions than we've ever had. We have some very unique guest speakers that are coming, and I'm excited to welcome. And we'll be posting some of those speakers on the website in the upcoming months. But it's October 3rd through the 6th. Our best weather month is October. We've had people say, well, we have camps in the summer and this and that, so we're making the change. I want to encourage everybody to get registered. You can go right now to Spiritual Leadership Conference, or SLC, I think it is, .com. Somebody help me out there, Jeremy. What is that? SL Conference. I knew it was in there. So slconference.com, or find it at lancasterbaptist.org.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So different time of year, cooler weather, and spaced out sessions, so a little bit of breathing room in between them. We're looking forward to it. Well, Dad, thanks for taking some time to us to talk through these aspects of ministry. We are excited about what the Lord's going to do here in 2021.
Amen.
And we know He's got great things in store. So thank you for taking the time to log on today and watch this podcast. Like and subscribe and help us to get the word out and share it if this has been a blessing to you. And we'll bring you back another episode next month.